Well, in a sense, when I'm working with my colleagues, when I'm working with my teams and we're assessing a young person, we tend to think in sort of blocks of theory and sort of, in a sense, through careful assessment, both qualitative assessment with the young person, with their family, often with schools and teachers, and sometimes with their friends. I mean, if the young person, for example, is very depressed or unable to communicate, friends are often a very useful resource of information. We're literally sort of kicking down different hypotheses that we may have about why this young person is presenting in crisis. So, you know, to begin with, we might wonder whether there are some neurodevelopmental issues. Is there something actually at a brain level that is making life increasingly challenging through this kind of complex time? We obviously want to know what's going on at home. Is there a specific amount of stress, risk factors, whether it's abuse or domestic violence or just discord, you know, marital breakdown and discord in the home that is contributing to this young person's difficulties. Some young people may show very context-specific difficulties. So if I'm meeting young people where they're generally doing okay but struggle really specifically at school and are getting a lot of negative feedback, beginning to feel like they've failed, maybe becoming, you know, the person that they're being told they are, so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They stop thinking, they stop learning, they misbehave. We might then want to explore specific learning difficulties, you know, finding young people with very good IQs, but actually with learning difficulties, whether they are to do with sensory integration or to do with dyslexia or dyspraxia, whatever we're looking at. It would help us explain why this young person understandably struggles in that particular learning context.
That sounds pretty wide in the sorts of theoretical orientations you're drawing on, but are there specific therapeutic approaches that you take, or would you say you really have to match that to the case?
We do have to match therapeutic approaches to the case, which is why the most effective way of working with a young person, because of the system that they bring with them, is within a multidisciplinary team. So even though I would lead the team, I would rely on the expertise of my colleagues who come from different skill sets to be able to contribute to the assessment and then sometimes themselves do further specific assessment, for example, educational assessment or neurodevelopmental assessment. Sometimes, you know, much more sort of specific, we might have to scan some young people's brains, or even more psychotherapeutic colleagues who might want to work with families and understand the family narrative. So it's quite complex, and in a sense, as a consultant, my role is to sort of navigate that. And to what we do as clinical psychologists is we create what we call a formulation. In a sense, we're creating an evidence-based narrative to the presenting difficulties. And actually just explaining to a young person and their family what we think might be behind what's going on for them can be a very empowering experience, because once you understand a problem, to some degree, you're almost in a much better position to try and solve it. So yes, it's about navigating the complexity, sticking with an evidence-based model and evidence-based therapeutic approaches, and always working collaboratively with the young person, because obviously they need to be very much central to the treatment. They need to take ownership of it. It's their life, and so they also need to inform us and help us understand where we might not be quite hitting it in the right place for them. Communication is vital, really.